During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online. She doesn't believe anything followed her home from her haunted workplace. She believes it's still there, waiting for whoever stays late next.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And welcome. 855-853-4802, the phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. And yes, you can always write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony, Todd, Carol, we're all here with you on today's edition of the program. What's going on?
I have a question for Todd.
What's up?
Have you ever worked in a haunted workplace?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tony and I worked at a haunted radio station. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we found some stuff there that actually kind of does prove it. I think a lot of it was just us being there all the time and we felt things, but we had one instance when we were actually there investigating and we had some video going on down in the basement, which Tony remembers there was that like hole in the wall, that kind of thing.
It was part of the Underground Railroad.
It was
a tunnel that went throughout the whole city, and they find more tunnels every now and then when they're digging up the city. But yeah, you have like your basement rock, and it was like knocked out. It was like purposely knocked out, and then there's this tunnel, and it goes so far one way and so far another, then it's bricked off on the inside too. I always wanted to knock those bricks down to see what was further back. Might be nothing, might have been completely filled in, but I was always curious. I'm sorry if that's the context. Continue.
I mean, I was just thinking for all the things we were just talking before we recorded about all the stuff you got written up for. I mean, if you're going to get written up, it'd have been at least worth getting written up for knocking down walls, you know?
You know, every time I visit that place all these years later, I mean, it's been probably at least 5 years since I've been there, but I always go to the basement because it's just like, I just want to take a look around and just see what, it's still the same basement. Except all of our old boards from back in our day are in that basement.
Yes.
Is that one of those towns, like a lot of towns really had a city beneath the city? So in a place like that where they get a lot of winter, it enables them to go below ground and walk and get to the next place without having to dig through snow and everything. Is it kind of one of those?
No, it was never that intent. Okay. This was more probably, I think bootlegging was a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think the tunnel technically, I think it connected to the bar next door or would have if it was still intact.
But the big hotel downtown, I think there were tunnels that ran under there. And of course, the Octagon House, which we've talked about before as well, they said it was all somehow connected.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember, I think I was in high school or was right before, there, which is not far from the radio station, which is how I did both simultaneously, just like a couple blocks away. The football field, sunk in one year. Do you remember that?
Like, that's right.
They were doing something, and all of a sudden there was like just a big sinkhole throughout like the whole field. And it's like, oh my God, it's the tunnels that they're finding. Cause I think they were working in downtown on new sewer lines or something. And that same summer, they also discovered more of the tunnels then too. And I don't know if that somehow disturbed the, you know, the air pressure or something under there, which then caused this to collapse all those years later. But it was interesting. It was like, and kind of creepy and fascinating for, you know, folks who like that sort of stuff.
Thank God nobody was, I don't think anybody was on the field when it happened, but yeah, I do remember that. When it did happen.
Did the tunnels at the radio station, did they feel like there was some activity around associated with those tunnels?
So we investigated that area and we actually have audio. We have video, but in the video you hear audio of somebody that says, well, hello there. And it's a female, and there was no females around at the time at all. So yeah, I think we kind of caught something in that area.
You got, well, hello there in the tunnel.
Well, hello there. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't just like one word. It was like a small sentence.
Interesting.
Yeah.
God, I don't think I've heard that one before.
Oh, yeah. That's in, I don't remember if that, it's in an episode someplace way back.
Haunted State? Okay.
Yep.
I got to watch that. Wow. Yeah. The only thing I ever had, I mean, well, I had more than one, but the one that stands out was I was there on a Sunday. I was at what was your desk. And I was working, I think, on a music log or something. I was like 17. And there's nobody in the building. It was real quiet. And I hear what sounds like the door opening that separates our buildings. It's a big old metal door. It's a loud one. And it's distinct. So hear that. Then I hear what sounds like paper shuffling and keys. And I know by just sound, that's our news director, Greg Stensland, because you hear this every day. And it's what he's doing. He's always on the move. He's always doing something. And his keys are always jingling. And he's on kind of a path to an mission to the newsroom. And that goes right by the door. And I'm not paying attention up there. I'm looking at the computer and I just say, hey, Greg, how are you? You know, and I don't hear anything. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's on his phone or whatever. And so I'm like, I'm just going to go say hi quick, you know, like less than, you know, 30 seconds later, I get up and go down there. Ain't nobody in the fucking building.
That's crazy because it was so real to you. You know,
it was
exactly
so
who it was.
Real, so real to me.
And you went to find him to go say hi.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like normal stuff. Like this would happen like every Sunday, you know?
Yep.
And Sundays,
like any workplace, are so quiet when you go in and on an off day like that.
So I didn't think anything weird of it because we'd always just visit like that, you know? And so it was just like, hey, you know, let's go shoot the shit for a few minutes. And it's just like, no one was there. No fucking. And then I called him at his house. Just to see, like, were you just here? And he wasn't.
Wow.
And he said, don't ever call me at my house ever again. That's what he said. I was just going to say, there was an exit door in that corner, but it was pretty much unusable and nobody ever used it. It was there for fires and stuff like that. Yeah. And there would be no reason for him to walk out that door.
There was shit in front of it too.
Right.
I mean, at that time, because
perfect fire door.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, there was like, there was a long time it was completely inaccessible, and this was in that era. So I don't know. That was the weirdest one for me. I know other folks have like seen. I remember hearing. I think Sam said he saw he saw Owens go by the window of the studio door, kind of towards the dead end of. There's a production room there now, and there's just the closet, but it was a dead end, and it was like on a Saturday night, and he goes out and nobody's there. I know others would have heard like typing on the keyboards. I know Owens has that one. And nobody's there. kids laughing? That was that you?
I had kids playing down the hall. Like yeah. you could not only hear it going on, but you could actually feel the floor movement because that Ooh. Long hallway, the floor over there was kind of rough. So yeah, it was like they were playing with a ball or something.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But you know what? I don't know. I always felt at home there.
I could go back there and still feel the warm and fuzzies from walking in the building just because of the history there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's home. It's like my high school when I look back at it. And they tore mine down, which is right down the road. So, so it That's really right. kind of is.
It really is the one thing you have.
It is. I have dreams that I'm back there just as much as I have dreams of the locker. I'm like not getting into my locker, you know, and usually it's a combination of both. It's usually, oh my God, I'm late from getting back from the radio station and I can't get my locker open or some shit like that.
Were you like the cool kid then in high school, Tony? Where
no.
cool. He's got a radio job.
No,
it didn't up your cool factor at all.
I was like so shy, I think, with people. I mean, I was comfortable in the studio and I never did anything socially at all. Like there was one year I did a few things and that was it. Year. Like I pretty much worked. I mean, if I wasn't at school, I was at the radio station from the age of about 14 to 18.
Yeah.
Nonstop. And yeah, that's yeah. It's and you know it's interesting, Todd. This year, because I'm exactly 30 years older than Harper, she's 13 right now. So she'll be and her birthdays are in August together. She's on the 17th, and so she'll be turning 14 this year. And I started working at the radio station right in that, and I think it was like December of that year, right when I had turned 14. And
wow.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you're expecting Harper to go get a job.
Well, she's actually had one younger than me now because she's been on the show for like 8 years already. Yeah. So she's already kind of one-upped, I think, all of us in terms of being on the air from a young age.
If you want her to like go to Dairy Queen or something. You need to go make ice cream cones for the public.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I never did. I worked radio. I had one gig at in between radio jobs at Sprint doing indirect sales for Manitowoc and Sheboygan counties. And
I think we talked about this and you rang up your bill for taking them out to lunch, right?
Yeah. And because there's a little, it sounds like real, you know, Wisconsin-y, Sheboygan and Manitowoc, and it's everything you ever dreamed of when you hear the word Sheboygan and Manitowoc. But there's also a place called Kohler there, which, yes, makes the toilets and all the plumbing and all that stuff. It's a very wealthy community with very, very nice restaurants in. And my job with indirect sales for Sprint for those couple of for that like 3 month span, with guaranteed pay. I had to go like to the Radio Shacks and whoever was selling Sprint and like, I was their rep basically. And you could take him out for lunch on the company credit card. So we would go to like the fine restaurants of Kohler. Like I'm taking the guy, the Radio Shack, to like fine dining and the guy that like runs the mall kiosk, you know, we're like sitting there having wine.
God.
And I just kind of knew, like, I was waiting for my next radio thing to like get, you know, pan out. And I think I was ready to leave radio though too at that moment, but I ended up coming back in for another decade or two.
If you would have gone any further than 3 months, that would be another write-up on your history of write-ups, I bet. Don't you
it would have been. It would, because I literally went up to the day of guaranteed. And here was the problem. It wasn't like I didn't want to do good. You were, at the time, Sprint did not have coverage, basically, right, in those markets. So try selling that product to an area that doesn't have coverage, or it's like limited to the line of the highway and like 1 mile either direction. It was just like, it was the impossible thing to sell. And I'm not a salesperson. I hate it. So, yeah, I would have been written up there too. But I did walk away, I think, with a box of like 50 Sprint mugs, and I think my parents still use them to this day.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like the old Sprint logo before Sprint disillusioned themselves, like way, way, way back. It's funny. They're probably collector's items. Who knows?
Probably.
So that's why your mom's keeping them.
They'll be worth something someday.
You never know. I'm telling you.
And I finally gotten back my boxes of all these, they'll be worth something someday stuffs. And I don't know. I have a lot of Happy Meal toys in boxes.
Did they come in Christmas time with a bunch of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, every time I see them, she comes with a box of stuff. It's like, how much stuff do you have here that I still have there? And it's just so much like childhood stuff that was saved. I mean, I was the only, so I don't know. But it's, I guess, great if they ever build the museum. You can really...
Yes, we're going to build a museum in your honor. Build
the Tony Museum. This will be like House on the Rock, and it'll be all sorts of weird shit from my childhood that my parents collected. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Can't wait. I'll be first in line for a ticket.
It's going to be really exciting. There'll be a water slide and everything.
Well, since you're not that far away, Todd, you might have to be the executive director of the museum. I'm just telling you. You might have to do that.
I'll work for the three months guaranteed.
3 months guaranteed pay, and then you're out. Yeah, there you go.
Good idea.
Let's go to a ghost story at 8:05. Oh, it's me reading a ghost story. Let's do that. Let me get this queued up here. Here we go. All right. For most people, the medical office felt unremarkable. It was the kind of place designed to disappear the moment you left it. Neutral colors, low ceilings, fluorescent lighting, it flattened everything it touched. Patients rarely committed or commented, rather, on it beyond mild complaints about the waiting room chairs or the temperature. Staff moved, though their shifts on autopilot focused on schedules, charts, and the constant pressure of staying on time. During business hours, the building behaved. It hummed with routine. Phones rang, printers spat out paperwork, doors opened and closed in predictable rhythms. The building felt anchored by movement and noise, as if the presence of people kept it grounded and contained. Whatever the office was capable of when it was empty stayed buried beneath all of that activity. It was only after hours that it became something else. She had worked there long enough to notice the difference, though at first she couldn't have explained it. When the last patients left and the front doors were locked, the office didn't relax the way other workplaces did. Instead, it felt as if the building drew inward, becoming more aware of itself and of who remained inside. The quiet wasn't empty. It felt occupied, watchful in a way she couldn't articulate. She often stayed late. Paperwork had a way of piling up, and she preferred finishing it in peace rather than rushing during business hours. At first, the unease she felt after 5 o'clock registered as nothing more than fatigue. Long shifts did that to people. Silence invited thoughts that constant noise usually kept away. But the silence in that office felt deliberate. The first incident happened on a weeknight, long after the sun had gone down. She and one of her coworkers were finishing charting in the employee-only area, seated at adjacent workstations. The rest of the office was dark, except for emergency lighting and the glow from their computer monitors. Their conversation drifted lazily, neither of them fully engaged, both of them clearly ready to leave. Without warning, the employee door slammed shut. It wasn't the soft click they sometimes heard when the air conditioning cycled on. This was loud, sharp, and violent, enough to echo down the hallway. The metal frame rattled and a stack of papers shifted on the counter beside them. Both of them jumped. Her coworker froze completely, hands still on the keyboard, eyes fixed on the wall across from them. When she finally spoke, her voice sounded tight and uneven. "Did you see that?" she said. She had watched a black shape move across the wall just seconds before the door slammed. Not a shadow cast by passing headlights, not a reflection from a screen. It had moved through the wall itself, tall, solid, and deliberate before vanishing. They checked the hallway immediately. No one was there. All the other doors were closed. The building had already returned to its quiet, indifferent state. They clocked out without finishing their usual closing routine and left together, neither of them joking about it, neither of them suggesting a logical explanation. After that night, the office stopped feeling neutral. She began to notice patterns she hadn't paid attention to before. The employees' area always felt heavier than the rest of the building, especially late in the day. Certain hallways seemed colder, no matter the thermostat setting. Some rooms felt easier to be in than others, though there was no clear reason why. She found herself unconsciously ranking spaces, places she lingered, places she hurried through. When she worked alone in exam rooms, she sometimes felt pressure between her shoulders, the distinct sensation of someone standing just behind her, close enough that turning around felt instinctive rather than intentional. Every time she turned around, the room was empty. She tried to normalize it. She blamed lighting, stress, posture, anything that kept the thought from fully forming. Medical offices were emotionally charged environments. People brought fear, pain, grief, and anxiety into them every day. It made sense that some residue of that might linger, that the building might feel heavy simply because of what it contained. Then objects started moving. The maker incident happened in the middle of a routine appointment. She was standing near the dry erase board explaining a treatment plan to a patient when the marker lifted from where it rested behind the board, cleared the top edge, and shot across the room. It didn't slide, it didn't fall, it launched. It hit the floor near her feet and rolled once before stopping. The room went silent. The patient stared at the marker, then at her, clearly waiting for an explanation. She picked it up without comment and finished the visit, her hands steady even as her thoughts raced. The board was securely mounted. There was no vibration, no movement that could have caused it. She documented nothing. After that, she stopped staying late unless she absolutely had to. Still, the activity continued, subtle but persistent. Doors were found open that staff were certain they had closed. Supply cabinets were discovered unlocked in the mornings. Motion sensors triggered in empty hallways during times when no one should have been there. Sometimes equipment powered on without explanation, screens lighting up briefly before going dark again. More than once, she heard footsteps behind her, slow, measured steps that stopped when she stopped. She learned not to react outwardly, startling only made her feel foolish afterward. Instead, she waited, listened, and continued moving once the silence returned. Coworkers noticed things too. They spoke about it quietly, though, usually near the end of the day, always with a nervous laugh as if humor might keep the subject from settling too deeply. Someone had mentioned seeing a shadow at the end of a hallway. Someone else complained about a door slamming hard enough to startle a patient. Another person swore they heard a voice over the intercom when no announcement had been made. None of it was serious enough to formally report, and all of it lingered. The office seemed to know when someone was alone. One afternoon, while restocking supplies in the employee area, they heard footsteps behind her. They matched her pace exactly, heel to heel, as if someone were deliberately mirroring her movement. She stopped, the footsteps stopped, she turned around, no one was there. As she turned back to her cart, she felt a breath near her ear, warm, close, unmistakable. Not exaggerated, not dramatic, just enough to make her skin prickle and her stomach drop. She left the room without finishing her task. From that point on, her body reacted before her mind did. Her chest tightened the moment she walked into the building. Her shoulders stayed tense all day. She began planning her movements carefully, avoiding certain hallways and timing tasks so she wouldn't be alone if she could help it. She stopped wearing earbuds. She kept doors within her line of sight. She never turned her back on the employee entrance. She told herself these were temporary precautions, necessary ones. The final incident happened after hours. She stayed late to finish paperwork, telling herself she would be quick. The office was quiet, lights dimmed in unused areas, the familiar hum of equipment filling the silence. She worked with her head down, focused on finishing so she could leave. She felt it before she heard anything, and the certainty that she was no longer alone. The office intercom system activated. "I see you." The voice was calm, clear, measured. It wasn't distorted. There's no static. It sounded close, as if it were meant only for her. She stood so fast, her chair nearly tipped over. The office was empty. The intercom system was powered down for the night. There was no reason the speakers should have worked at all. She didn't gather her things. She didn't shut down her computer. She walked straight out of the building. The next morning, she gave notice. She didn't dramatize it. She didn't accuse the building or list incidents that would sound unreasonable on paper. She cited stress, anxiety, and need for a healthier work environment, and all of it was true. After she left, she learned she wasn't the first. Others had transferred quietly. Some had resigned altogether. A few cited unexplained anxiety and an inability to be alone in the building, a feeling they couldn't shake. No one used the word haunted. No one needed to. The office continued operating as it always had. She doesn't believe anything followed her. She believes it's still there, waiting for whoever stays late next. There you go.
Bum, bum. You know, that's creepy stuff. And remember there was the theater that I worked at years ago as a cocktail waitress?
Mm-hmm.
And
the cleaning up at the theater, the theater, I put that in air quotes.
That I worked as a cocktail waitress. Serving people.
Yeah.
Cocktails. But we're cleaning up at the end of the night and we're getting ready to go and everything shut down. Like they had shut off the sound system, completely off. There is no power. And this voice starts coming through the speakers. And I could never understand what it said, but it was very loud and it was very garbled. And the guy kept saying, well, that's because, you know, it's some kind of interference. And I'm like, but it has no power. There's no power. Like, what is amplifying this? Because it's coming through the speaker in a loud way. Mm-hmm. So to be there and then hear something come through whatever intercom system you use at work, when nobody else is there, that would creep me out. At least I wasn't the only one there.
Yeah.
That night. But that would creep me out to hear a voice and to say whatever it said that was really creepy. That would, like, that is enough for me. You could get another job in the medical field. They're always looking for people.
I'd be like, could it be? Here's the one thing that comes to my mind. Remember CB radios. And remember every once in a while, I don't know if this was just our station. I'm assuming it's happened to everybody.
You're going to bring it up.
Yeah. I'm assuming this happened, like, at other places, too, where... or maybe we just weren't grounded well. I don't know. That's a real possibility. But sometimes CB radios, you'd pick them up over your headphones in the studio.
Oh, when that's things interesting.
We're all analog. Yeah.
I have never.
We were on Main Street and like the road was like me to the camera in terms of how far we really were from the road. So I don't know. Maybe if that played a role of just how close we really were to traffic in that studio.
Both studios,
is that
really.
The one though that you guys were just talking about being haunted?
Yeah. But it was obvious because you could actually hear what they were saying. You know, okay. You could kind of understand it. And it wasn't going out over the air. It was just in the monitors. If you had the headphones off and the speakers on, you'd hear it through the speakers as well.
crazy.
So it could be something like that. But again, if they've powered down the audio system, mm-hmm. unless there's some stray voltage going through that system, why would it come through the speakers?
And that's the weird thing. Only one there and you hear it.
Right.
And there's nobody, because to have somebody say that, there has to be the other person in the office going, Todd, can you come to Carol's office, please?
Yeah.
You know, and to hear anything through that, there has to be somebody saying it.
Don't you, would you agree, Carol, though, that like a majority, if not all, of theaters are haunted?
They're haunted. They're all haunted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the one that I work at now, it's haunted.
What do you do there? Do you serve drinks?
On Saturday nights?
Oh, bartend.
Bartend on Saturdays. No, I write for them and I really enjoy bartending. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun and you can't bartend unless you have a job doing it. Because you could come over and I could make you a cocktail. It's not the same.
No, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's
like baking. You know, if you like to bake, you can do that at home. But if you like to make drinks, you got to have a job doing that. And I just enjoy the pace of it and everything. I think it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
But it was funny at Christmas time. It was my show, actually, one that I'd written. So it was really fun. But it was funny as this show went on and we were really busy, sold out every night for 7 weeks. And the activity in the theater started ramping up. And there's a girl who works there and she's really into the paranormal. And she calls it Mo, the ghost. And she's like, I think he's just pissed. It's too loud in here. And I'm like, you know, maybe that is it. It's just too much activity. And, you know, because like one night it happened again. I had another glass fall off of something that shouldn't have fallen off of something. It doesn't make sense that it would have fallen off.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think he's just pissed. It's just too loud in here. I'm like, just obviously he doesn't want to have any fun. But so it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, a lot of people have had experiences there. And just every theater that I can think of is freaking haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
And I think because you're connected in a different way, maybe.
I think there's just so much emotion that goes into everything there. People are there because they want to feel something. People are on stage because they want to feel something. I mean, there's a lot of intent in a theater. And a lot of, you know, emotion that is expelled in a theater. So I think the energy is what I'm getting to is that there's a lot of energy, you know.
And that building used to be a warehouse of some sort way back in the day. That whole area was just built for warehouses and storage and things, you know, like every town had.
Yeah.
And so they've kind of renovated the whole area and turned it into bars and restaurants and hotels and shops. And so who knows? It's probably somebody who doesn't even like theater and is like,
somebody like worked it. It was like a meat locker or something, you know?
Exactly.
Can we just owned by the mafia.
Having the meat come in.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the history of what was, you know, in those areas, you know, the shit that probably would have also gone on, you know, I mean, in some of those districts too, you know, it's, the whole area. Yeah, this is a very storied history. Mm-hmm. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's going to wrap up this episode of the program. If you want access to the bonus episodes and all of the other stuff, check us out. Patreon, search Real Ghost Stories Online there, or Apple Podcasts, our premium channel. Get access to everything ad-free and in advance and support the program. Do check that out. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spin on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.